take heed to my name, for in my name is salvation. In my name is healing. In my name is deliverance. In my name is peace. In my name is joy. So take heed to my name. Let my name fill your heart and mind, for my name changes things into what they should be. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well, you ready for the word this morning? See, I told you, you're going to leave the service saying, how did they do all that at this time? But with a God, all things are possible. So we're glad that you're here this morning. And, you know, I had this thought when it comes to giving. You know, when God saved me, once I got saved and became a part of the family of God, giving was not an issue for me because God gave me everything. And I was willing to give God my everything, like He gave to me. And so giving was never, it's not really an issue because I know that when I give, I'm giving into God to honor Him and He blesses me in return. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to look at verses 13 to 19. You know, each month we like to follow a theme, and our theme for this month is He is I Am. Discovering who I Am is. How many of you want to discover who I Am is? Right? Well, you know, our God is awesome. He is incredible. And we can know Him. We can enter into a relationship with Almighty God. And throughout this month and even into the next month, we're going to discover these truths that He is I Am. In Matthew 16, 13, the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? You know, God is not interested in the opinions of others. He's interested in the opinion of you. In other words, let me ask it to you this way. Who is God to you? Okay? Our God is a personal God. He's a relational God. Okay? He goes on to say, and Simon Peter answered and said, you Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now that's encouraging to me, because Jesus was asking His disciples, who do people say that I am? And they gave what people were saying. But then He said, who am I to you? Who am I to you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, without any prior information, he all of a sudden just blurted out, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus testified, He said, my Father in heaven revealed this to you. It's encouraging to me to know, we can know who He is. And we know who He is by the means of revelation. God will show you who Jesus is. And you can believe in what God says about His Son. I'm just going to tell you this. He is everything you want. He is everything you need. And He is everything you desire. Nothing or no one can compare to Him. Okay? So Peter had this in an instant, Peter had knowledge of who Christ was in just a moment. It was just downloaded to him. And that's encouraging to me because we're going to find out just who he is. All right? Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And let's go down to verse 13. This was Moses at the bush in the wilderness. The bush was on fire, but it wasn't burning. And he got Moses' attention. And as Moses drew near to the bush, God began to speak. I'm glad I've never heard God speak out of a bush. But how many know God knows how to communicate? He is the master communicator. He can communicate to all of us. And God will communicate to you on your level. And in the midst of this conversation, in verse 13, Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" So Moses asked God specifically what his name was or is. All right, I should say is because he's not going to cease to exist, right? And here's what God said, verse 14. God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." What a name. I am. When you need healing, he is I am the healer. When you need deliverance, he is I am the deliverer. When you need help, he is I am the helper. When you need joy, he is the I am the joy giver. Amen? He is I am. We're going to find some truths about what I am is. All right, go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. He mentions this in the Old Testament. He mentions it in the New Testament. He mentions it in history. He mentions it about the future because he always is I am. And because he is I am, no person has the right to say he was. If God is, he always is. He always was, and he always will be. Okay, John chapter 8 gives us a little bit more information about who this I am is. And let's go down to verse 53. John chapter 8, verse 53. "Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, who you make yourself?" Jesus answered, excuse me, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him." I want you to notice Jesus was talking to a group of people who claimed to know him, but they didn't know him. There's a lot of people today in the church, they claim to know him, but they don't really know him. Because when a situation arises, they're more familiar with fear than they are the deliverer. They're more familiar with worry than they are the problem solver. See, when things happen in life, has anybody ever had things come up in life? I mean, we all have, right? Well, when those things come up in life, it's extremely important who you know. Because who you know could be the difference between between deliverance or death. Who you know could be the difference between salvation or being lost. Jesus goes on to say, verse 55, you have not known him, but I know him. Can you say with confidence like Jesus, I know him? Amen? And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. He called these guys liars. But I know him and keep his sayings. See, Jesus knows him, but he does something for him too. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. See, they said Abraham was dead, but he's saying that Abraham saw his day. So if Abraham saw Jesus' day, how can he be dead? He's not on earth anymore, but he's still existing. All right? Verse 57, then the Jews said unto him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And I love Jesus' response. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, before Abraham what? I am. Oh, that's powerful. I am spans across eternity from beginning to end, and it will continue to be. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. John had a revelation of Jesus. He showed up, and verse 8, he says, I am Alpha and Omega. Those are the beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet. Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty. There's no one more mighty than him. He is almighty. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere. And when we know that, we can face any situation with confidence because we rely on him to get through it. All right, he goes on to say in verse 11, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And we don't have to go into the names of the churches. And then go down to verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. He is the author and the finisher. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. The I am has the keys of hell and death. And the only way that someone gets into hell is to reject I am. All right? So Jesus said in these three places that he is I am. What does it mean? What is he saying when he says, I am that I am? Before Abraham was, I am. He is saying to us that he is self-existence. No one made him. No one preceded him, and no one's going to last longer than him. He is from the beginning to the end. He is self-existent. He has being in himself. Sometimes that's a hard thing for us to grasp because we came from someone. I like to tell people if your brother didn't have kids, you won't either. You got to think about that for a minute. Well, if your mother didn't have kids, you wouldn't be here, right? So he is self-existent. He is the eternal, unchangeable, always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. If he was the healer then, he is the healer now. He will always be the healer. If he was the provider then, he is the provider now. He will always be the provider. If he was the peace then, he is the peace now. He will always be the peace. He is unfathomable. unfathomable. Say that 10 times. What does that mean? You'll never reach his limit. You'll never get to the bottom of discovering who he is. He is so vast. He is so huge. He is so incredible. He is so amazing. You can study the Bible for 100 years and you'll still get new things out of each time you read it. You can read John 3:16 1,000 times and you'll still get something new that you haven't seen in it. Why? You'll never get to his limit. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't study. Don't say, well, I'll never get to the limit, so why study God? No, you need to study to show yourself approved. A workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, we're living in a day and an hour when we as the believers in Christ Jesus, we need to rightly divide the word of truth because the world is trying to tell us what the Bible says and they have no clue. So we better know the word so that when we have an opportunity to speak up, we can say what the word says with authority and with confidence. When he says, I am, he is the faithful, true to all his promises, unchangeable in his word and nature. He is I am. When he says he is I am, he exists because he created everything. He is the creator. And because he is I am, you can expect the speedy answer to his promises. You can expect the speedy completion to everything that he said. He is good to his word, and his word is good to him. He never does anything apart from his word. He never violates his word. He cannot lie. And if he can't lie, you can trust his word. You can lean on his word. His word will help you. His word will deliver you. His word will lift you up. There's no one like him. There's no one will ever be like him. We are made in his image and his likeness. When you see another person, you get a glimpse of who God is, his nature. We are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. When he says he is I am, he is real. He is perfect. He is independent of it. He doesn't need anything else to exist. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says, you've got to believe two things about God. Number one, you've got to believe he is. And number two, you've got to believe he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How many believe God is? God exists. God just doesn't exist, but he exists in every believer that confesses Jesus Christ as Lord. He actually comes into your life. He lives in your heart. He gives you a new nature. If I am is overcomer, and if I am is in you, then you're an overcomer. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, through the I am. Oh, get this. When you understand who I am is, that is who you are. You can follow his example. You can say what he said. You can do what he did. You can walk like he walked. You can treat your mama like he treated his mama. You can treat your brothers like he treated his brothers. Can you not? See, even though the I am is exclusive, but I am is also inclusive. Which means you can partake of I am. We partook of I am this morning. Now these are symbol, you know, but it gives us a picture of what he did. When he says he is I am, he's speaking of his eternity, of his constancy, of his faithfulness in fulfilling all of his promises. When he speaks of I am, he includes all time, past, present, says, I am. He exists as nothing else does. Can you trust in something that exists like nothing else does? And you're not trusting in something, you're trusting in someone. Who God is in nature, he is in reality. He doesn't just save, he is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, Jesus gave us some clarity in the Gospel of John, and he continued to say some things that I am is. Are you ready? Let's go to the Gospel of John, and let's go to chapter 4, John chapter 4. Hallelujah. See, because Jesus came to show us the Father. He said to his disciples, remember, one of his disciples said, Jesus, show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? He reflected the Father. He did the Father's work. He spoke the Father's words. He carried out the Father's actions. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because they're one. They're so closely linked with in unity and harmony. In John 4:26, Jesus said to the woman at the well, she asked, she said, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. In verse 26, Jesus said, I that speak to you am he. He is the Messiah. What does that mean? He is salvation. He is your life preserver. He came to preserve life. The devil comes to destroy life. Jesus comes to preserve life. The devil comes to condemn. Jesus comes to save. He did not come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world to save the world. He is the only way. He is the only one by which this world can be saved. I got news for you. People who try to save the earth is not going to be saved. That's why Jesus is going to recreate. He's going to make a new earth. For a new heaven and a new earth he's going to make. So people who try to save the earth, it's in vain. Now, that doesn't mean we should see how quickly we can destroy it, right? But all this money that is spent to quote unquote save the earth is going to, you know, there's going to be a global meltdown. Oh yeah, God's gonna do away with the old earth. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. So, you know, what did he say? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Can you trust in a word that will never pass away, that will never change, that will never lose its power? You can trust in that word. You can become that. You can cling to that word. That's what we're about. So he is the Messiah. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 35. Well, we better back up. To verse 30. Chapter 6, verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign are you going to show then that we may see and believe you? How do you work? Did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread. You know what? Jesus did not come to perform for you. People who want to seek a sign, they're called an evil and wicked generation. That doesn't mean that signs don't come, but signs should not be the object of our affection. I've heard of people, they've heard jewels appear over here, so they want to go over there and they want to see the jewels, or stuff appears over here and they want to go over here and see the stuff. No, I don't care about the stuff. I care about him. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he showing up? What is he doing? I don't care about the stuff. The stuff takes your eyes off of Jesus. Did you ever read in the Gospels where stuff appeared, and people were all following the stuff? And Jesus was never there. Listen, where he was, things were happening. And yes, signs and wonders will follow believers. Notice, they'll follow you. You don't have to seek them. All right? They said, our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, that word verily, that means truly, truly. When he says it twice, he really means it. If God ever speaks your name twice, you better listen. Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Samuel, Samuel, here I am. It's a double enunciation. When God says something to you twice, he means business. So you better listen. I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Yes, manna was from heaven, but it wasn't the true bread. Manna sustained them in the wilderness, but it wasn't the true bread. There's a bread that can sustain you longer than manna. There's a bread that tastes better than manna. There's a bread that's sweeter than manna. What bread is it? I'm so glad you asked. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The kind of bread that we want to eat is the bread that gives life to the world. Verse 34, then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. I'd say the same thing too. I want bread that gives me life. Here he said, verse 35, and Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. If you want to partake of the bread from heaven, the true bread, all you got to do is believe. Your faith in the true bread of heaven caused satisfaction to come to you. It caused sustenance to come to you. The true bread can sustain you. The true bread will actually satisfy a thirst. It'll satisfy a hunger. See, problem is, people don't desire. If you don't desire Jesus, you'll never be satisfied by Jesus. You got to desire him. You got to make Jesus the most important person in your life. And when you get born again, your will now becomes his will. You don't come to church because it's Sunday. You come to church because this is where he is. You come to church because you can have an encounter with his power, his nature, his goodness, his grace. Jesus is the head of the church. He actually legally purchased the church with his blood. The church is the people. You've been blood washed and blood bought. That means, see, before you knew Jesus, Satan put a condemned sign in your yard. And It didn't look like you had any value. But a realtor developer came along named Jesus. He's an architect. He's a builder. He's all kinds of things. He came along and he saw value in this old broken down house with the windows falling out, the shutters falling out, the paint peeling, the windows cracking, the roof leaking. He saw value in you. He said, I want to buy that house. And he came and he made a transaction in heaven and he took his very own blood and he purchased you with his blood and he became your owner. He became your leader. And now your value is through the roof. He remodeled you. He fixed the broken window. He fixed the leaky roof. He remodeled you. He built you up. He made the greatest investment into you that was possible. Because he is I am. He is whatever you need in any moment. When I am comes to you, fear says, I'm getting out of here. Did you realize when people who were afraid, when Jesus came to them, they were no longer afraid? Because when I am walks into your house, you can tell fear, you have the authority to tell fear, get out. And fear has to leave. Faith and fear will not share the same house. And the stronger will kick the weaker out. Come on. Hallelujah. He is the bread of life. He is true sustenance. Got time for two more? Three more? Four more? No, just kidding. Oh, go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 again. Let's go to verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins, because where I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, where I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Today you must believe that he is I am. You've got to believe it with all your heart, with all your being, with all your soul. You've got to believe that Jesus is the source of all good things. If you believe that Jesus is the source of all good things, then giving, the problem is solved. When you give in to God, now, you can't just do it to do it. You got to do it in faith. You got to do it in faith. He is from above. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But that doesn't mean that we can't get up on an elevator and come up to where he is. Did he not say in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? You can share his mind. Just because his thoughts are higher doesn't mean you can't come up. Ephesians tells us he sits us together with him in heavenly places. He made you sit together with him. He said, Emily, come on up higher. Come up to the divine penthouse in the sky. The top floor, you know, where George Jefferson went to. Right? Young people are saying, he was a show from the 70s. You have to look it up sometime. Good Times or, no. I don't know. I don't remember. Doesn't matter. So, Jesus is from above. The Pharisees were from beneath. because that's how they thought. Did you know the Pharisees sowed to the flesh? Romans says if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life and peace. How many would rather have life and peace versus corruption? Okay, then it all depends on what you sow to. If you want to feed your flesh, go ahead. But it's not going to get you anywhere in the kingdom. Sowing to your flesh will not get you to the great, to the I am. It's where we fall short. Now, we all have flesh. Even pastors have flesh. Pastors have to live by faith, just like everybody else. You know, some people think, Mary had to get born again. You know why? She called in her song when she sang to Jesus. She said, "Oh Lord, my Savior." She called Jesus her Savior. That means she was saved by grace, just like you and I. So Christ is from above. He wants you to come up higher today. He wants you to come deeper today. Get a revelation of who I am is. Get it in your heart. Get it in your soul. Get it in your life. Get it in your family. Live as if I am is a guest in your house. Work as if I am is your co-worker. Shop for groceries like I am is pushing the carts. Oh yeah, what am I saying? Sometimes our attitude does not reflect I am, it reflects us. Sometimes us and I am's attitude are different. But can we change that? Do we have to settle for just expressing ourselves as ourselves? Or can we have the attitude of I am? We certainly can. Did Jesus raise people from the dead? Did his disciples raise people from the dead? They did the same thing. Did Jesus open blind eyes? Did his disciples open blind eyes? We can do the same thing. See, I am is not an impossible achievement. How much of I am do you want? How much of I am do you want? It shows up in everything we do, everything we say. I like what John the Baptist said. They came to John and they said, "Hey John, Jesus and his disciples are baptizing more people than you." Thinking that John was going to be upset about that. You know, the devil likes to infuse competition between believers. And although friendly competition is good, but competition should not change your attitude from good to bad. If competition changes your attitude from good to bad, then it's not good competition. John just smiled. I'm interpreting, I'm just giving my paraphrase. John smiled, and he said, "He must increase. I must decrease." John purposed in his heart that he wanted to glorify God as much as possible because John knew that he was from above. This is the Lamb slain before the foundation. Behold the Lamb of God, come to take away the sins of the world. All John's purpose was to introduce the Lamb. He needed to go before the Lamb and tell people the Lamb was coming, to tell people the Lamb is here. The Lamb has entered the building. Right? That's all John did. He had a megaphone just to say that the Lamb has entered the building. Behold, the Lamb of God. And you know what? John was okay with that. John wasn't out to make a name for himself. John was not building his kingdom. He was building the kingdom of God. You know what? When you come to Christ, you need to lose your reputation. You've lost your mind. Yes, and I got a much better one than what I had. Oh, you go to that church, they're just brainwashing you. Oh, yeah, my mind was so filthy, it needs a good cleaning. We've got to live. We have the opportunity as believers in Christ Jesus to actually live above. Didn't Deuteronomy say you shall be above and not beneath? You shall be the head and not the tail? We got to stop living like the tail and start living like the head. And we need to kick Satan in the tail. But he is I am. He always was. He always will be. He's always going to be I am. He's not going to change. His power is not going to diminish. His glory is not going to fade. So you might as well partake of I am today. You can take your I am pills right now. We got some I am pills. Take four of them a day. There's four gospel pills. Driving here today, Josiah was coughing, and he says, I need to take more medicine. And I told Josiah, I said, Josiah, I got some pills for you to take. He goes, yeah, what's that? I said, take some gospel pills. And I said, declare that Jesus is your healer. That's what I told him. What do you need today? I am, has it? I am, is it? I am will give it to you if you believe. You need a change? I am. He brings about change. He makes change sweet. There's nobody that knows transition better than God. Or I should say, he knows how to help us deal with transition. All I know is today that I am is here. And what you need in your life, you can come and get it right now. So if you need something from I am today, the number one thing you need is you need to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious leader, he said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus thought, well, how can God go back in my mother's womb? He's not talking about that. He's talking about accepting Jesus Christ as Lord in your hearts. To be born again means you say, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. I call you Lord. And he will say, okay, I'll come right in. If you're here today and you're not born again, that's the first step in knowing who I am is. He is the Savior. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I need to be born again? Raise your hand. I'm not even going to have you come up. Just raise your hand. I don't know Jesus. If I die tonight, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. That tells us that we got to invite more unsaved people here. Amen? Maybe you've been walking with God, and maybe you parted ways with God. And maybe today is your day to reconnect with God. If you need to get reconnected with God, then you can come today. If you need to be healed in your body, you can come. I am is the healer. Amen? We're going to discover that he is our peace giver, he is our provider, and he is our all in all. He is I am. If you need prayer for anything else, I want you to come up right now. Don't delay. Don't wonder in your heart. Just come up here right now, and all the power of I am will touch you. He'll meet you where you are because he loves you. He cares about you. He gave his life for you. And you just need to receive today.